Welcome to the Not Old Better Show, the show covering all things health, wellness, culture, and more. The show for all of us who aren't old, we're better. Each week, we'll interview superstars, experts, and ordinary people doing extraordinary things, all related to this wonderful experience of getting better, not older. Now, here's your host, the award-winning Paul Vogelzang.
Welcome to the Not Old Better Show, Art of Living interview series on radio and podcast. I'm Paul Vogelzang. Today's episode is sponsored by Talkspace, part of our May Mental Health Awareness Month. Today, we are going to be talking to author Stephanie Dre about her new book, Becoming Madam Secretary. Today's episode is where history and the present converge to inspire, inform, and ignite our audience. We are embarking on a journey through time, guided by New York Times best-selling author Stephanie Dre, a master of historical fiction who brings to life the stories of women whose legacies have sculpted our world of early 20th century America with Stephanie Dre's latest tour de force, which is available at Apple Books, titled Becoming Madam Secretary. This riveting novel chronicles the real life of Frances Perkins, a woman of indomitable spirit and intellect who shattered glass ceilings to become the first female cabinet member in U.S. history serving as Secretary of Labor under President Franklin D. Roosevelt. Raised on tales of revolutionary ancestors, Perkins's journey from the tenements of New York City's Hell's Kitchen to the corridors of power in Washington, D.C. is a testament to her unwavering determination to enact change. Through Stephanie Dre's meticulous research and compelling narrative, we witness Perkins navigating a world dominated by men, her life intertwined with figures like Sinclair Lewis and Eleanor Roosevelt, and her pivotal role in shaping policies that remain cornerstones of American society, such as Social Security and labor rights. Becoming Madam Secretary by Stephanie Dre is more than a chronicle of political achievement. It's a story of personal sacrifice, love, loss, and the balance between public service and private life in times of national crisis. It's a tale that resonates profoundly with our audience, reminding us of the enduring impact of perseverance, vision, and the courage to challenge the status quo. Join us for an enlightening conversation with New York Times best-selling author Stephanie Dre as we explore the depths of Frances Perkins's legacy, the challenges of bringing historical figures to life, and the lessons their stories hold for us today. This isn't just history, it's inspiration for living our best lives. On the Not Old Better Show, understanding the power of resilience and the importance of contributing to a world that future generations will inherit. Prepare to be captivated. I think you're going to love this. I have really enjoyed this book and the story of a woman who dared to dream, fight, and pave the way for a better tomorrow. This is the Not Old Better Show, where the past is always present and the future is something we create together. Stay tuned.
One of the most fun things to write about in this novel, Becoming Madam Secretary, is that Frances Perkins and FDR, who would be her political soulmate, did not hit it off on the right foot when they first met. This is a little scene about that day. I didn't think much of Franklin Delano Roosevelt when I first met him. But in my defense, almost no one who met him in those days dreamed he'd amount to much. He wasn't born a great man, and I'm not even sure he was a good one. Goodness and greatness came later. When I met him, he was still an insufferable popinjay. My new job required mixing with the city's upper crust, people with old names or new money who could use their influence to support our causes. So I was grateful to procure an invitation to a late afternoon society tea dance in Gramercy Park, where, after my long-standing habit of surviving on nothing but coffee and the occasional banana sandwich, I was inhaling cakes and asparagus puffs like I'd never get another meal. That's when I overheard the beginnings of a rather spirited argument between a group of old walrus mustached high hats and a clean-shaven young dandy wearing a starched collar that seemed to prevent him from dipping his pointy chin low enough to look upon the little people. "Now, Frank," one of the old men said, "don't get worked up about your Uncle Ted.
We know you have to side with your kin. I'm not kin to Theodore Roosevelt except by marriage, the popinjay protested, throwing his head back and sneering down his nose in the most supercilious gesture I'd ever witnessed in my life. But it wasn't the gesture that got my attention. It was the name, Theodore Roosevelt.
That, of course, is our guest today, Stephanie Trey, reading from her new book, Becoming Madam Secretary. Let's meet Stephanie Trey. Stephanie Trey, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us and for so generously reading a passage from your new book, Becoming Madam Secretary. The book is fantastic. You have shared it with me. I've just enjoyed it. I love what I do because, for one, I get to talk to people like you who are always very interesting. This book was fascinating to me. I didn't know this story. So right out of the gate, I've got that admission to make. But congratulations on this wonderful book. You have worked very hard and I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Well, thank you. And to be honest, I wasn't very familiar with Frances Perkins' story either until I started writing this novel.
I kind of have the easy part of this because I've become introduced to you via the book. How did you first become introduced to the subject? Because it is a fascinating one.
Well, that's a great question. Thank you. Unlike the heroine in this novel, my family consists mostly of very recent newcomers to the American experiment. So while Frances Perkins thought a lot about her revolutionary past, the revolution that mattered to my family was the New Deal. My family were immigrants, mostly from Italy. They'd come from poverty and oppression. They lived through the Great Depression. And I grew up on stories about how they had to forage for mushrooms and hope that they didn't get a poisonous one, and how they ate squirrels, and how an uncle of mine died trying to steal coal from a passing train so that he could keep the family warm. And they always told me that Roosevelt saved them. And they talked about the Civilian Conservation Corps, which my grandfather joined, and he was able to send a dollar home to save his family. And so he was really revered in our family. It was a real surprise to me to find out that Frances Perkins was really the woman who was responsible for most of the New Deal programs that most benefited my family and other Americans. Now, I had been familiar with her as America's very first female cabinet secretary, but mostly through the pictures of her where she's an older woman, she's kind of dowdy and very schoolmarmish. I didn't realize her history until I stumbled across a photo of her, a very young woman, realized that she was a stylish young activist in her day. And that just fascinated me because, you know, we sometimes forget we were all young people once with big dreams, and she happened to make hers come true.
Fascinating. She becomes Madam Secretary, the title of your book, Becoming Madam Secretary. She was a Secretary of Labor. What a wonderful story and connection that you've had. I'll just tell you this briefly as an aside. My own mother was, my family are immigrants too, from Holland. My own mother was captivated by Eleanor Roosevelt. She had heard her speak once in Southern California as a young, my mom was a young girl and heard Eleanor Roosevelt speak and was just so impressed with her as a woman. And it just served my mom forever to have everything that she represented. And so I just get the sense in reading the book, your wonderful book, that Frances Perkins was this same type of woman and pivotal in some of these critical moments in American history. How did you maintain a balance in telling this story so that you could share honestly about her personal sacrifices, but still laud her achievements? Because there were many.
Yeah, she was a great lady, as was Eleanor. Mm-hmm. And the two of them were certainly allies and friends. They were not close friends, though, because Frances was really a little bit closer to Franklin. And the two of them, the Roosevelts, lived separate lives in some ways. Balancing covering Frances's political achievements along with her private life is really the wonderful thing about historical fiction. That's what I get to do, and I just love it. Because we hear about dates in history class, but we very rarely get to see the personal stories. And with Frances in particular, this was tough because she was a very private person, and I'm not sure she would have liked me telling her private stories. But I believe that they need to be told. She is a great American heroine. And I think there needs to be a street named after her in every American town.
You know, I agree. I think that these people do need to get the attention. I just found the story to be riveting. Again, congratulations. The book is Becoming Madam Secretary. Our guest today is Stephanie Dre. Let's talk about some of the other historical figures. In addition to Franklin and Eleanor, that Frances Perkins meets along the way, she meets Sinclair Lewis. She develops this ongoing relationship with Minnie that really kind of developed her style and added to her life's journey. And you tell that story so wonderfully as well. And so I wonder, how did you stay in the lane there and telling all those stories there?
Well, I had a great advantage in that these were real people.
Yeah.
And someone like Sinclair Lewis has a very strong authorial voice. So I was able to read his books and get a sense for what he might have been like. And he was apparently very annoying to Francis's friends, but she knew he was brilliant and clever. And he really brought out a playful side in her that almost no one else in her life brought out. So I thought that was important to show.
I love the research. Historical fiction is, I think, nothing without all of the historical context that you bring to it. Maybe share some of the insights that the research that you did on this area of her life and how you were able to treat this biographically, but then adding some of these kind of interpretive events, still keeping it historically accurate because it's well put together.
For those who might know my work, I often write about historical figures. Mm-hmm. In America's First Daughter, I wrote about Thomas Jefferson's eldest daughter, Patsy. And in My Dear Hamilton, I wrote about Eliza Hamilton, his wife. In The Women of Chateau Lafayette, I covered Beatrice Chandler as well as Adrienne Lafayette. And those were all very deep dives. And I was really eager to do the same with Frances Perkins. But I started this book at the height of the pandemic. And so suddenly I was presented with a situation where I couldn't actually travel and go to see her papers or her home or do any of the things that I normally would do in bringing a story alive. But fortunately, this is the most modern heroine I have tackled before. And so there were lots of pictures of her and there were recordings of her voice. That was really extraordinary to be able to hear what my heroine sounded like. She had written a number of books and she has an oral history that was very kindly digitized by Columbia University. So I was able to read, I think it was something like 5,000 pages.
Wow.
Of her just talking about her life. She's obviously very guarded about some of the things that she's talking about, but every now and then she slips and you hear her personality slip out that she doesn't want people to know. She can be quite funny and she is not the school marm that she liked people to believe she was. I ended up being able to do the research that I needed to do. And I also got to see, eventually, I was able to get the original documents, like her love letters with her husband, which really helped shape the story because a lot of people question whether or not they ever had a happy marriage. But when you read these love letters, it's very clear that they were deeply in love, that this was a very healthy and strong marriage for a very long time. And I was very honored to be able to bring that into the book and show her love story.
Hi, it's Paul. We will be right back with our interview with author Stephanie Dre about her wonderful new book, Madam Secretary. Please stay tuned. Today is May 1st. It's an important day. It happens to be my birthday, but the month marks Mental Health Awareness Month. And as a proud sponsor, Talkspace encourages you to talk it out with a therapist. Opening up can stir a mix of emotions, but consistent dialogue, a licensed professional, brings unique insights and truths. Embrace these moments for breakthroughs and unconditional support through Talkspace. This is particularly personal to me and to my family. And for my own journey, I have felt the lows deeply impacting both me and my family. It wasn't until I engaged with Talkspace that I realized the profound benefit of accessible therapy. They made it easy to start. finding a therapist that clicked with me and allowing therapy sessions from wherever I felt comfortable. This ease and accessibility brought incredible changes to my life. Talkspace stands out by making therapy not only accessible, but also affordable. Within just 48 hours of signing up, you're matched with a therapist right for you, ready to meet virtually anywhere and anytime, saving you the commute and the hassle. This platform from Talkspace also ensures that help is continuous with options to message your therapist anytime. With Talkspace, therapy is tailored to fit your life and your needs, secure and confidential, safeguarded by the latest encryption and compliant with HIPAA. Celebrate May's Mental Health Awareness Month by giving Talkspace a try. Use promo code SPACE80. That's space, SPACE80, for $80 off your first month when you visit talkspace.com/NOB. This will all be in our show notes, but start your therapy journey. Support Mental Health Awareness Month. Support our show and check out talkspace.com/NOB. Thanks, everybody. Our guest today is New York Times bestselling author Stephanie Dre, who's written the new book, Becoming Madam Secretary. It's just excellent. I just can't recommend it enough. It's getting great reviews from so many online already. I love what Kate Quinn, also a New York Times bestselling author, has to say about it. It's a great word she used. She just says, a proud anthem to a forgotten founding mother, unput downable. I love that. That's excellent. Congratulations, thanks, Stephanie Dre, on this fantastic work. People need to read this. You talk about the New Deal and the work during this period of time during FDR. And so many in my audience know so much about Social Security as Social Security participants, but her work here, Frances Perkins's work, her role in developing Social Security was really very fundamental. And I thought it was interesting because the president, of course, gets an awful lot of credit. That's kind of due to the nature of the beast. But here we have Frances Perkins getting an awful lot of attention now for this work, too. And so her contributions are enduring. And I think our listeners are going to be fascinated about this aspect. Were you surprised at some of that information as you were digging it up, the Social Security work and her efforts behind it?
Yes, I'll tell you what I was most surprised by. I knew that Frances Perkins, who had been a longtime social activist and government worker when FDR approached her to be Secretary of Labor, I knew that she was part of getting this program off the ground, knew she was an advocate. But I didn't realize that she essentially dragged President Roosevelt kicking and screaming into having a Social Security program. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. And it was actually sort of delightful to watch their back and forth on this, because when he first asked her to become his Secretary of Labor, she wants to say no. And there are very good reasons that she has to say no. But her plan as to how she's going to get out of this is she gives him a laundry list of programs that she would want to pursue if he makes her Secretary of Labor. She thinks they're very unrealistic, but he looks at her list and he says he's happy to support all of it except for one. He says, but not this Social Security plan. That's crazy, Frances. And she is seduced by the idea that she can convince him. She's already convinced him about these other issues. And so it really becomes a centerpiece of their early work together in the administration, that she is fighting for priority, for attention. She's struggling with other cabinet members and other important officials in the administration. And then ultimately, they're on the same page and they achieve this historic accomplishment together that will link their names forever.
Yes, on such an amazing level, too. This Social Security is part of who we are as a people. It's such an important aspect of this story. Becoming Madam Secretary, Stephanie Dre is our guest. She's the author of this book. It will be out on March 12th, we'll have links so that our audience can find out more information about Stephanie Dre, her new book, and where you can go to order this book, too. I think we want to go out and get this. Absolutely. I recommend it highly to our audience. The other aspect that I didn't know much about Stephanie Dre that I just found fascinating, and as Secretary of Labor, her role as being an advocate for labor rights, the event is titled The Triangle Shirtwaist Factory Fire. This played an enormous role in the story. I wonder if you'd tell us a little bit about that event, first of all, and why we need to understand that, especially today.
At the time that this event took place, Frances was working for the Consumers League in New York, and she was already in the vanguard for labor reforms. She knew that there were sweatshops, there were lots of very unsafe conditions, and she had been talking about the fact that there were risks of fire. And she had even been working with some of the women who were seamstresses in the shirtwaist factory who had been telling her that the conditions there were terrible. So she actually knew some of them. Hmm. And by happenstance, she was at a tea party very close by the factory when she heard the fire bells go off. And she says she knew immediately which building would be on fire. Mm. She went out and there she witnessed this horrific scene, because not only was the building on fire, but the owners of the shirtwaist factory had locked the doors and the seamstresses and their employees could not get out. And so these people, mostly young women, were forced with a choice to either jump out the window of this very tall building or burn alive. And the witnesses, who Frances Perkins included amongst them, were on the ground telling these girls not to jump. But of course, they had no choice. And so she witnessed dozens of people jumping out of the windows and landing so hard on the pavement that they were breaking awnings and crashing through the sidewalks into the cavities below. And there were no survivors. And it was all over in about 30 minutes. And everyone felt helpless. And Frances says that the New Deal was born on that day for her. I think it galvanized her devotion, because she thought to herself, why would God put me here to witness this? He wouldn't have done it unless I was meant to change things. And she took that on as a religious mission of her life. And she did change conditions. She changed the world. We should all be very grateful to her. If you have a fire sprinkler overhead right now as you're listening to this, you can thank Frances Perkins.
Thank her. We do. I just thought that was such a powerful story too. Tragic in every sense. Frances Perkins had other tragedies that she faced down. She experienced, not personally, but some mental health issues within her own family that shaped her. I wonder if you'd tell us a little bit about that and how that's influenced some of her work publicly, her policies, perhaps.
Frances came from an old revolutionary family, which I mentioned before, and there was a sort of a strain of madness in that family. There were a number of revolutionary ancestors who did have mental health issues. So she had always grown up knowing this was a problem that people could face. And there's some indication that her sister also may have suffered from mental illness. But Frances was also very old school. And like many people, until you experience it for yourself, you think, well, why can't they just get over it? Why are they sad? Why, you know, you just got to dust yourself off and get up and get going again. But she eventually would face the tragedy of her husband suffering what we now know to be bipolar disease. Mm. And he was a brilliant man who was really laid low by this illness. And this was really coming to a head at the time she was making all these strides for the American people. And one thing that she did try to do is she tried to get a national healthcare system to go alongside of Social Security and other programs that would benefit citizens of this country. It was the one piece of her agenda that never got passed. And it was also the one piece of her agenda that would have benefited her personally, because her husband's medical problems and ultimately her daughter's mental health issues sort of took all of her money. She worked until the day she died.
Her husband's name was Paul. And in your author's notes, which I just found equally fascinating, I'm sorry for being kind of nerdy here, Stephanie Dre, but it just represents such a treasure trove, I thought, of insights. And you reconstruct so much within those notes, but you talk a little bit about Frances's biographer Kristen Downey and the telling of, or the untelling perhaps, of how she met Paul, her husband. And she didn't even tell that story to her own daughter, apparently. Congratulations on this, these notes and research, but maybe tell us a little bit about how you came across all of this, because that was an amazing little fact, I thought. I talk about how I met my wife to everybody.
Yeah. And it's only natural, which is why I don't believe Frances. Frances was never above fibbing. She learned how to fib. Yeah. She learned this from FDR, who was a very cagey political animal. But Frances was very protective of her privacy. And for something that was sacred to her, she would never talk about it. So her very excellent biographer was unable to figure out how they met. And I saw in Frances's oral history that she sort of brushes it off. She doesn't remember. And I thought, what a load of malarkey. She doesn't want to tell us.
Yeah.
So this is why writing historical fiction is so much fun. Because I can go where historians should rightly fear to tread. You know, Kirsten Downey, she's not going to say something like how they met because she has no evidence for it. I just get to make it up. So that's what I got to do. I get to fill in the blanks.
Yeah, well, you've done such an amazing job. Great to hear the word malarkey, too. I don't think we use that quite enough. And so thank you for all of your wonderful writing and all of your work. Well, final question for you, Stephanie Dre, again, author of Becoming Madam Secretary. Such a great, great book. We have overlooked some of these wonderful, powerful women who have made such amazing contributions. And Frances is just one of them. What are you talking about in relation to Frances that we really should remember and keep in mind as we start to appreciate some of the future female political leaders? Because I think there are going to be many.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I think that history is often written, at least it has been up until now, from a point of view that talks about sort of the great men in history. And there are a lot of great men in history, but there have also been many great women in history, and they tend to get forgotten. And it's important that we remember them because it inspires half of our population to do better and to participate and to remember that they are ostensibly equal citizens in this great republic.
Thanks for the work. Congratulations on this book and for being such a wonderful guest. It's just been a pleasure, joy to talk with you. You have such a nice sense of humor and your work is just so excellent. Again, Stephanie Dre has been our guest, author of Becoming Madam Secretary. The book is on sale March 12th. Find it at your favorite bookstores. We'll have links in the show notes today for more information about Stephanie Dre and all of her work. Stephanie Dre, thank you so much for joining us today. And I'll be selfish for a moment and just say, please come back as you do more of this. I love historical fiction just personally, and your work is just excellent. So as you do more of this, please come back and share it with us. I know our audience is going to love it just the same.
I would love to. Thank you. This has been a delight.
My thanks to New York Times bestselling author Stephanie Dre, who's written the new book, Becoming Madam Secretary. My thanks to you, our wonderful audience here on radio and podcast. My thanks, of course, to executive producer Sam Haneker. Please be well, be safe, and let's talk about better. The Not Old Better Show Art of Living interview series on radio and podcast. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next week.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Not Old Better Show. To find out more about all of today's stories or to view our extensive back catalog of previous shows, simply visit notold-better.com. Join us again next time as we deep dive into some of the most fascinating real-life stories from across the world, all focused on this wonderful experience of getting better, not just older. Let's talk about better. The Not Old Better Show.
Hi, one final thing. Please check out our website for this episode and all episodes at notold-better.com or subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to check out your local radio stations to find out more about the Not Old Better Show on podcast and radio. You can find us all over social media. Our Twitter feed is Not Old Better, and we're on Instagram at Not Old Better Too. The Not Old Better Show is a production of NOBS Studios. I'm Paul Vogelsang, and I hope you'll join me again next time to talk about better. The Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.